welcome to Wobblies and Wizards. I am your host, Logar the Barbarian, and I'd like to welcome my special guest, Beckett Warren. Beckett operates WeirdRealms.com and also does some work for Exalted Funeral. Beckett, how's that?
It's pretty good. Yeah. Well, the thing with making, you know, the thing you love your job is jobs are terrible, and so then you start to hate it.
Yeah, I understand that. I've been there a few times. It's happened. That's how I was. I drew comic books all growing up. Read too many comics. Always had my comic ideas. And then by the time I started doing illustration, design, and drawing for a living, it became, not my favorite thing to do anymore. That happens. One thing you can do while you're drawing that you've kind of been involved with is making those fun zines and all those different games that come out that we get into.
Yeah, we made one, and now we're behind schedule on like the revised, expanded, super edition of Halflings in the Hive, which it was supposed to be out in August. It's not out. Most of the writing, like I'm responsible for the writing, that's done. My collaborator Todd, who's the artist, it's his final, or it's his last year of college, or his last semester, and
things are a little rough on the schedule right now.
So yeah, so he's kind of getting hit, and so I've got a 1-year-old and a 2.5-year-old.
Oh, that's young.
that was my excuse for why I wasn't writing what I needed to write. So I've got to cut Todd some slack. He actually donated a kidney too. Donated a kidney to his friend
during
April.
Oh wow, that's a lot.
He's a good dude. He gave up a kidney to like his friend. Yeah. So
you said your kids are 1 and 2, and mine are teenagers now. I've got a freshman and a junior, and my junior is running around with his girlfriend all over town now. They're very mobile and very teenagers. And he had asked if he could bring his friend over the other day. And this is very off topic, but I was like, yeah, that's fine. I'm just going to go in here and take a nap. Y'all just stay chill and bring your friend over. And I'm laying there and I hear this baby. My eyes open. I'm like, what is going on? My kids are now like not baby age. I'm like, this is not a baby house. We left that a long time ago. And I heard it. And I'm like, am I tripping? So I go knock on the kid's door and I go, hey, son, do you got a baby in there? And I hear this small child's voice go, no. I'm like, what?
Not a baby.
I'm like, what? The child's brought a baby into the house. It turned out the friend had to watch the smaller sibling. He was trailing around town, and that tripped me out. That is a way off track from game, but that was my story for the day.
that would throw me.
I was not expecting a small child. That small child ended up being in the house all day. We were very engaged with the child. We played games with the child. I have not just role-playing games, but lots of board games, and I've always been into games trying to find age-appropriate games for my kids when they were younger. So we kind of broke out some of the old ones I used to play with them for the baby.
So what are some good younger child board games?
Hiss. H-I-S-S-S, if it's still around. We have another one down here called, if I can see it, something like Monsters Under the Bed or something like that. The kids must have put it up, but where you have cards and you have to chase monsters away. It's kind of a memory game where you turn over the balls, or not the balls, little toys. You have toy cards and you have monster cards that go around your little bed. And if your bed gets covered in monsters, you can't flip over the right toy. The toy will send the monster away. That's a good one they like. But Hiss, I think, is the best. It's literally just a matching game. You have little cards that are segments of a snake that change color. So you're trying to match the color and trying to find a head and tail for each snake. And if you get the head and tail, you get the cards. Whoever gets the most cards wins. It's pretty simple. And the kids get into it. That child yesterday got into it. And my daughter, my son really got into that Hiss one when they were younger. So simple and easy. They could play it without a whole lot of instruction.
Cool. Yeah, I ran a Labyrinth RPG for my nieces about a month and a half ago. That was actually really good. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't. Labyrinth, like the movie with David Bowie and
exactly.
Jennifer Connelly. I liked Jennifer Connelly a lot when I was growing up watching that movie.
So it's, you know, the YouTube guy, Questing Beast?
Yes.
He wrote the adventure, like, scenario parts. He didn't write the mechanics to the game. It's a really simple, like, roll two six-sider, or maybe even only roll one six-sider, I forget. But, yeah, it's a really straightforward, say what you're doing, roll, see if it succeeds. It might be, like, roll one six-sider and then advantage, disadvantage type of thing. But it was actually really, you know, all my nieces hadn't ever played any role-playing games before. It was a really good time. And I think it's like a good introductory role-playing game because it's not like you don't like my one niece was like, well, hey, what can I do? I don't see much on my character sheet. I'm like, you can do anything. Just say what you want to do. So I think it's like a good intro to get you thinking you can do whatever. It doesn't have to be on your sheet. Whereas
yeah.
You have a bunch of stuff on your and this isn't, you know, I'm not the person who thought of this. This is, you know, like conventional wisdom or whatever, but it's totally true. And I think introductory play experiences that push that rather than particularly now when people are used to video games where you have your list of abilities
and you're limited by those.
Yeah. Having a game where it's like, yeah, just do whatever. And none of them had seen Labyrinth. So they didn't, you know, they had they no idea. They were like
preconceived notions of the movie and stuff. And David Bowie, they probably have no idea who Bowie was.
Maybe like, well, we played. So my 2.5-year-old is big into the magic dance.
Oh, dance, magic dance. Yeah, that was good.
Because, you know, my wife is a big Labyrinth fan. And so she even played. She right after we first met, we played role playing. Like she was a sport and came with me to a convention. And just like in the hotel room, we played this goofy little like ultra light role playing game. Which I think that was too free form and it was just terrifying. And she was like, I feel like I'm on the spot. I don't like this. It's too much. But so she played the Labyrinth game and she said, like, I couldn't believe that I like that, you know. So
I picked up this little book of one page role playing games. I have yet to bust one out. They're all perforated so you can yank them out of the book. Don't know if I'm gonna do that yet or not. I might. We'll see.
The tension between collecting and playing, right?
Yeah. I think that's what's happening sometimes is I get these things. I want to play them. They look cool. I can't wait to run a game with them. I only have so many people who will play and so many time slots and so many availabilities to play them all. At a point, sometimes it just becomes, oh, shoot, I'm kind of a collector.
Yeah.
But I have said, I like growing up, I was a collector. I collected comics and toys and stuff. And when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was hard up for cash. I sold all that stuff to find a place for my kids to live.
Right.
That was kind of important at the time. And I got it. I mean, I had a really good comic collection, so I got enough for a home, at least for rent in the first month's, you know. Deposit. Yeah. So by the time I had sold those things that were my collector's items, I had some role-playing books left in books. And at that point, I was like, my books I'm holding on to. That's my collecting thing. I can put my collecting effort into books and justify that a little more than a toy.
When I opened the store, I sold a lot of my stuff, just like everything. And then the stuff that I didn't sell, it's now just kind of mixed in. You know, I have like such a tiny pile just because like I'll talk to like some, you know, younger dude, you know, I'm in my 40s. And so like younger guys who are like looking to open a store and especially if they're into like the card game stuff, like Yu-Gi-Oh, mm-hmm. Magic. They're like, they want to have like, they want to keep the good cards. And I'm like, dude,
you got to get rid of those.
Start now. You have to sell that, you know, keep, you know, once you've had your shop open for a few years, then you can start to collect again. Now, just you need to sell everything or you won't have your place next year. And like it takes yeah, it takes some convincing, but that's my advice. If you want to, my two parts of his advice, if you want to open a store, recognize that it will taint forever the thing you once loved purely. And if you still are willing to desecrate that which was sacred, then sell and don't think you can keep anything.
You'll lose it all. Yeah. I don't want to part with my books. I've often, there's often been a discussion, my spouse and I, she's always wanted to have a little used bookstore. And I'm just like, that would be awesome. I'm going to lose all my books. I got a lot of good books. And I'm a book fanatic, not just role-playing books, but books in general. I'm a reader. Like I think we had talked before we came on here. Growing up in Cleveland, I spent most of my time at the library after school and on the weekends reading through every bizarre thing. And that led me down many rabbit holes. I do have certain, I guess, genres and sections of literature and books that I tend to gravitate towards the most. And for about 20 years, none of that was fiction. It was all nonfiction. So that's probably less than 20 years. It was all nonfiction. I kind of went from a lot of the sci-fi and fantasy to like the beats and stuff like that, more creative things. And that led into just nonfiction reading. Lots of philosophy and history. That's where it was. But then I made an intentional like try to go back into fiction and start enjoying fiction again. And going back to classics and trying to discover new modern sci-fi and fantasy. So I have been reading more of that lately. And I've been picking up stuff from game books, like the recent book I started reading, I got from sort of the appendix in, or whatever you want to call it, of Coriolis. So I'm like, oh, this is a cool sci-fi book. Let's see what this is. I've never heard of this one.
What was the book?
I can't remember the name of it. I've already started. I can tell you I only started it tonight because it just came in the mail last night. And they are, what is it called? I'm sure if I looked at my eBay, it would tell me because I bought it on eBay. But it was they're doing an the guy who wrote it is a geologist, and so far it starts off they're doing an archaeological dig on an alien planet. So there's all these dead alien remains and stuff. It's called Revelation Space by Alistair Reynolds. I had never heard of this. I think it came out around 2000 or something like that. So it's been out for about 20 years now. But it's been a neat little book. And it was suggested sort of as the appendix and to get to the flavor of Coriolis.
I haven't been reading much science fiction lately. I've kind of gone back to like fantasy primarily for as far as the fiction that I like. But actually, I want to, before I'm kind of prone to talk tangentially and come up with something and then forget, and then like 5 minutes later be like, oh wait, remember. But so without doing that, have you ever used any of like the nonfiction, like particularly like philosophy, not so much history because that has a much more direct correlation to gaming, have you ever tried using a philosophical work for a game nugget?
Oh, I definitely have a lot over the years, definitely less lately. But I can name a few campaigns that were very much inspired from the philosophy that I was reading at the time and kind of the existential crises that I was going through while reading said philosophy, because that has happened a lot. But yeah, I've definitely done that. I mean, in order to even get into where that led and what those campaigns look like, I think we need some time.
Yeah,
we're about out of time.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for having me on.
No, thank you for coming on. If you've enjoyed this, you can find us on Facebook. Just search Wobblies and Wizards. Wobbliesandwizards.com is our URL. Beckett, can you tell them where to find you on the internet?
You can find me at weirdrealms.com, and that will take you to, I think it should take you to social media. But if you just like search Weird Realms on your social media, be it Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, I'm on those as talking in the fun Facebook groups and such. Look up Weird Realms and you can track me down.
And keep those dice rolling.